We invite the children to come forward.
Good morning. Okay, so I brought in this little branch from a tree by our house. And do you guys see the buds on it? Mm-hmm. See those little buds? Do you think that they're going to blossom? No? Do you think that any flowers are going to grow or any fruit? No? You don't think any apples are going to grow off that branch? No? How come?
Because you took it off.
Because I took it off?
Yeah, you took off the tree.
So it's not going to keep growing.
Well, according to like how plants work, it doesn't have its roots, so it can't grow.
Gotcha. So have you guys ever picked a piece of fruit from a branch or a vine, and it wasn't quite ripe yet? Did it taste very good?
Yeah.
And could you put it back on the branch so it would keep growing?
You can try.
Gospel tells us that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches or the fruit that grows. And Jesus wants us to stay connected to him. So what do you guys think? What are some ways we can stay connected? You got one?
Go to church.
Perfect. Anything else?
Pray.
Perfect. Yes. Any other ideas? Got an idea, Andy? How about helping people? Is that a good way to stay connected? Or listening to Bible stories, singing songs, praising God? Those are all good ways, huh? So Jesus will never leave us, and he always wants us to stay connected to him. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for abiding in me, sticking with me, no matter what, and help me to stick with you. Amen. Okay, so what do you guys think would be a good cookie shape? I don't think we made it very tricky.
A tree.
A tree, that's a good idea. What else could it be?
A branch.
Yeah.
A leaf.
How about something we might want to eat?
You got it.
It's an apple. Okay, go ahead, help yourself. Sure. There's lots in there.
Please join us in the hymn before the sermon from With One Voice on 783.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On this fifth Sunday of Easter, if you're all doing well, and it's my pleasure to be invited to speak here again. I am going to be speaking on the text for our second reading from 1 John. And the title for my sermon is Love is Courage. Love is a word that in English is applied in many numerous ways. We love our spouses and significant others. We love our families. We love people that have made significant contributions to our lives. We love our preferences for food. We love sport teams. We love our hobbies. We love kinds of music, and the list goes on and on. We use love as a noun and also as a verb. And we modify it into adjectives and adverbs. And I can see some people having flashbacks to school. Love is frequently used as a stronger form of like. And in these cases, what we love, we mean that we like immensely. But what does it mean to love God? And what does it mean to love like God loves us? Is loving God the same thing as religious piety, such as weekly attendance at services, giving to the church, volunteering for church activities, personal prayer time, regular reading of the Bible, witnessing and evangelizing? Do these count as loving God? What about having a set of beliefs and practices, or avoiding certain practices? Do these too count as loving God? Now, these are good things, but according to the text that we've been reading, piety, beliefs, and correct practice do not necessarily count as loving God. The gospel has numerous instances recorded where Jesus spoke out against mere piety toward God. And here are two passages from the gospel according to Matthew. First one comes from Matthew chapter 7. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. On the judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name? Then I'll tell them, I've never known you. Get away from me, you people who do wrong. And from Matthew chapter 23, how terrible it will be for you legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites! You give to God a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, but you forget about the more important matters of the law, justice, peace, and faith. You ought to give a tenth, but without forgetting about those more important matters. You blind guides, you filter out an ant, but swallow a camel. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians that even very spiritual activities and faith itself is not a replacement for love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it begins, if I speak in tongues of human beings and of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. And we heard from the reading in 1 John this morning, and I want to focus on one particular sentence within that reading. Verse 18 of chapter 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect or mature love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect or mature in love. So I want to look at love, the noun form, as courage, and love, the verb form, as courage in action. Now, strictly, the text is referring specifically to fearing some kind of divine punishment or judgment, but in the larger picture, it can refer to any kind of misplaced fear. Hate is often seen as the opposite of love. but perhaps hate should be seen as a symptom of fear. And fear is the actual and genuine opposite of love. Think about it like this. People don't hate something or someone for no reason. People hate because, among other reasons, they dislike something. They have had bad experience with it. Think it or they can harm them, or it challenges their way of thinking or their way of life. The result of fear is hate. And hate can manifest in a number of ways. An obvious one is literal violence against the object of hate. But it can also manifest in thinking badly about this thing or person, spreading false rumors, ignoring or giving a cold shoulder, undermining what the other person is doing, and other similar passive-aggressive behaviors. Fear leads to actions that try to protect one's own self. Fear builds barriers. Fear draws boundaries. Fear seeks to draw clear lines between what's in and what's out. Fear seeks out certainties and beliefs and belonging. Fear wants to clearly define what I think is right versus what I think is wrong. This is not love. Love is courage. Courage to venture beyond boundaries of comfort. Courage to tear down barriers that others have erected as being proper. Courage to accept ambiguities. Courage to engage with beliefs and ideas that cause us discomfort. Courage to risk being wrong. Courage to see things and people outside of our traditional and comfortable spheres and see them on their own terms. Courage to take a stand against those who attempt to instill irrational fear. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, taken from Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete. And back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul continues and describes love and what it looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice, but it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. Near the end of his ministry, Jesus described the kinds of actions that were taken by those who are his genuine followers. Again, from Matthew chapter 25. Now when the Son of Man comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come. You who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then those who are righteous will reply to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Then the king will reply to them, I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, "Get away from me, you who will receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't do anything to help you?" Then he will answer, "I assure you that when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me." Courage is love in action. Love does not merely believe it is good to care for the needs of others, especially those whom society may have marginalized and oppressed. Yes, it's good to give to alleviate needs, but love goes beyond mere giving. Love is courage in action to accept into our families those whom society has marginalized, oppressed, and judged as unworthy. Love is courage in action to not only meet their needs, but to elevate them and restore their full human dignity and their place in God's family. Love is courage in action to combat the powers, structures, and systems that dehumanize and oppress people. Easter is the proof that love is more powerful than fear. Easter is the promise that courageous love can bring resurrection to people today. Easter is the preview of God's kingdom fully restored. How do we keep Easter and the power of the resurrection in us day in and day out? Our gospel reading talked about abiding in God and God abiding in us. And the text from 1 John tells us that text in 1 John 2 tells us that we are to abide or remain in God. And how do we do that? Here are a few selections from the reading again. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we ought to love each other. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates a brother or sister, he is a liar. Because the person who doesn't love a brother or sister who can be seen can't love God who can't be seen. This commandment we have from him: those who claim to love God ought to love their brother and sister also. It's fairly easy to think about these things in the abstract or apply it to people and places over there. But what about here in Petersburg? What about here in our community? Are there people we avoid? People that make us uncomfortable? People that might think differently from us or have different values? Are there people we fear in this community? Now, I do need to add a caveat that there are legitimate cases, such as abuse, where for genuine reasons, a person should not have interactions. And we need to place boundaries. But in the majority of cases, have we allowed fear to overrule love? In what ways can we become more courageous and bring the power of resurrection and restoration to the lives of people in our community? Perhaps there are relationships that have been diminished or broken, fractured because of something that happened in the past, perhaps within this very congregation. Courageous love can mend those relationships. But love that merely hypothesizes and keeps to oneself is not really love. Genuine love always takes action. Love is a process. Maturity in love doesn't happen overnight. It requires practice. Our capacity to love increases as we take steps to risk the consequences that may arise from offering genuine love. The source of love like this is infinite. We in our human thinking might consider love to be kind of a zero-sum game, that there's a limit. But God showed otherwise. Remain in God's abundance of love, and we will have the courage to love as God loves. All who choose to allow God's love into their lives will bear the fruit of love. Loving God necessarily means loving people. To love God is to love one another. To love God is to love those that in our human ways of thinking are difficult to love or even unlovable. To love God is to love those that maybe some of our circles may frown upon, or even society as whole might discourage. To love God is to see the spark of the goodness of God's creation in all of his created beings, and to seek to bring that out in one another. Love is courage. Love is not for the faint-hearted. Love is courage to be a part of the resurrection story each and every day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that were left in Scripture to encourage us on the road to love. May your Spirit abide in us as we abide in the Spirit and in God. May we be encouraged to grow our capacity for love each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. With one voice, number 737, there is a bomb in Gilead.